The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network,
the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Before we start the show, let's talk about soap. It's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. January is Geek Chic Month at BubbleGenius.com. This week, go to BubbleGenius.com for their Beam Me Up Alien Abduction Soap Gift Basket. It's an alien abduction-themed basket that contains their glow-in-the-dark alien and UFO soaps, plus a half dozen glowy star soaps. They also threw in a non-glowing cow soap for good measure, since aliens are always doing harrowing things to cows. Only $15 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
My name is Rex, and if you study with my 8-week program, you will learn a system of self-defense that I developed over 2 seasons of fighting in the octagon. It's called Rex Kwon Do. I need a volunteer. Okay, you'll do. Come up here. Bow to your sensei. Bow to your sensei! Okay. Now I'm going to give you one chance. One chance, people. Grab my arm. The other arm. My other arm. Okay, now watch this. I'm just going to break the wrist and walk away. Break the wrist, walk away.
Jeez.
Now, in addition to what you just saw, if you study with my 8-week program, you're going to learn these things. First off, Rex Kwon Do, we use the buddy system. No more flying solo. You need somebody watching your back at all times.
On the internet, we're the tops. Wonderful. Here's the hot one.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, January 22, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob Seska. That's Chez Pazienza right there.
Hello.
Yeah. Why, hello, Eeyore.
That's good. I am Eeyore. You are not. You are not the first person to point that out. So don't go patting yourself on the back.
I also got this.
Hello.
Yep, that's me. Hello.
It might become a staple of the show.
Why? Hello, Eeyore.
We are brought to you.
I am the sullen son of a bitch.
Hello.
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability, the best lawyer ever. TheBowenLawGroup.com. Click the link on the podcast page. Got another big week of show lined up here. Sometimes this stuff really stacks up thick. Thick and stinky. Lots of fun news this week. Talk about the State of the Union, of course. Specifically, the State of the Union butthurt from the Republicans.
Yep.
Bunch of whiny diaper babies, these guys. Where's my baby? Where's my baby crying sound? I don't think I see it here. Oh, there it is. Yeah, the Republicans is in. Yeah, exactly. Plus, the GOP fumbles their response. See, I fumbled the fumble.
Right.
GOP fumbles their response to the State of the Union. We're going to talk about that a little bit. That was fun. Plus some audio of Joni Ernst. We were on Joni Ernst first. I think we were the first to play her pig castration commercial. Way back. Seems like 1,000 years
Joni
ago.
Joni Ernst, man.
Going to talk about the GOP abortion bill failure.
What is it? I saw some meme somewhere that said that has a picture of her, and it says that I feel like I'm being like I'm watching a commercial for veneers read by a kindergarten teacher.
We're going to jump right into that in just a second. Later in the show, Bobby Jindal won't give up his no-go zones myth.
I am writing about that right now. That's what I'm writing about at this very second.
Jesus, this guy. I mean, Fox News, of all places, has already apologized for spreading the myth, and he's still stuck on it.
Doesn't matter. I said that. When did I say the thing that I wrote about the Paris mayor suing Fox?
Oh, yeah.
I said it doesn't matter. The retraction's meaningless. Once that phrase is out there, once it's out there into the media bloodstream, it's like death panels.
Yeah, that's
you're
right.
Going to keep hearing about it over and over again. We are a meme-obsessed culture, and we're a culture that doesn't care about the truth once a story has been put out there.
Yeah,
and so those two things coming together have created just a disaster. You're going to hear about Muslim no-go zones until the end of frickin' time now.
We're also going to talk about Mike Huckabee continuing to bury himself regarding the Beyonce thing.
Yeah.
You got a clip of the Huckabee show in which he's playing bass with Ted Nugent.
There couldn't be anything more ridiculous.
And it is really ridiculous. I could barely make it through it. Plus some Louis Gohmert, Fox and Friends, and their idiotic argument against free college. We're going to play some of that for you. And maybe some 2016 presidential campaign news. But first, let's talk about, I guess we'll start with, we were talking about Joni Ernst just a second ago. Here's, in case you missed it, and I don't know how you could have, but in case you missed it, here's a clip of Joni Ernst in her State of the Union response Tuesday night.
As we leave the gate, make sure your seatbelt is fastened. To fasten, insert the metal tip into the buckle and adjust the strap so it's low and tight across your lap.
Sounds
to release
familiar.
The belt, just lift the top of the buckle. Please remain seated with your seatbelt securely fastened anytime the seatbelt sign is on.
And even
if the sign is off, please keep your seatbelt fastened in case we experience unexpected rough air.
It's the wrong tape.
I like that music, though. It's very soothing.
It's similar. Sounded damn similar. In fact,
calm
that was
calm as Hindu cows.
A little more lifelike than Joni Ernst. Here's the actual Joni Ernst audio, and it is quite similar to a flight attendant.
The new Republican Congress also understands how difficult these past 6 years have been.
God.
For many of us, the sting of the economy and the frustration with Washington's dysfunction weren't things we had to read about. We felt them every day.
The sting of the economy as you wait for $1.50 a gallon gas.
Yep.
That's the disconnect. I don't know how that line works anymore. How does that actually function?
I mean, because the economy is a lot better for certainly for, the people who invest in Wall Street and that kind of thing. But I do understand that there are people in the middle class who are still hurting, obviously. But no, the Republicans have never cared anyway. Their whole thing has always been to shit on the middle class, so they don't have an argument there to begin with.
Well, what I'm saying is you could say that at any point in time, regardless how the broader economy is doing.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could say
you're absolutely right.
Rewind to 1999 and say, well, there are people who are still, my God, the sting of this prosperous economy on some people.
Definitely.
I mean, you speak in generalities because it's more of a condition rather than it is specific to anecdotal stories of individual hardships.
Of course.
But
by the way,
as
I stretch because I needed to
head rush. Did you get head rush?
I did. I love that. I love that.
Love it,
can we please? Is there any way humanly possible that we could declare some kind of moratorium on politicians talking about individual people they've met?
Yeah.
I don't care which party it is. I can't understand that. I mean, I hate it. Like I remember meeting I remember meeting young Joni Ernst who castrates hogs in Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, it's either that or these hardscrabble stories from childhood, which I got to tell you, I don't know many kids who have more than one pair of good shoes because their feet grow like lightning. I mean, it's insane how quickly children grow. So consequently, you're not going to go out, especially in the early 80s, or you're not going to go out and buy your kid just a bunch of dress shoes.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. You have one good pair of shoes that you wear to school and maybe you wear to church, and then the rest are just, actually, you wear your worst shoes to school. You wear your good shoes to church. That was the way I was always taught. So I had basically two pairs of shoes, and there was one pair of shoes that I would never ever wear except to go for like an hour a week to go to church.
That is true. Yeah, when I was a kid, yeah, I only wore one pair of shoes.
Yep.
Even if I had a couple pairs of shoes, I never wore more than one.
And the way she tells it is that everyone in Iowa wore bread bags on their shoes.
Well,
let's continue.
They're very stylish there.
It was a big trend in 1981 in Iowa. Everyone get your bread bags out. Time for bread bag day. It's bread bag Friday. Never wouldn't wear your bread bags on your shoes.
We felt them in Red Oak, the little town in southwestern Iowa where I grew up and am still proud to call home today. As a young girl, I plowed the fields of our family farm. I worked construction with my dad. To save for college, I worked the morning biscuit line at Hardee's.
So that's at least three other pairs of shoes she's got. So she's got the construction shoes. She's got the farming with her dad shoes, which is in pig slop, by the way. If she's out there castrating the hogs, then she's walking around in pig crap. And then the Hardee's shoes. Unless her school shoes also doubled as Hardee's shoes.
Maybe.
Because she did only have one pair of shoes when she was a kid. It was really hard once she turned 13. It was really hard to, you know, squeeze her giant feet into the shoes that she wore when she was 9. The one pair of shoes.
The ones that had the hog ball blood all over them.
Yeah, the testicular mangled
you
material.
You gotta figure that if there's any place, you know, something's gonna bleed, it's when you cut its balls off.
Good God. I don't even want to think about how that's done. I mean, I know. I saw the machine. It looked like a giant pair of pliers, for God's sake.
That's lovely.
Oh, that makes me hurt.
You know,
that's
a real woman, though. That's a real, you know, that's a real American.
Yeah, it's a real American. Real American.
Growing up, you know, one of those, you know, urbanite metropolises, you know, drinking lattes. That's not where real Americans live.
Going out there with the bags on your shoes with that giant set of pliers and just chopping them
working
off.
Working at Hardee's. That's a real American.
Working at Hardee's. Biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits and gravy at Hardee's.
That's right.
That's a real American right there.
But it's those anecdotes. It's those anecdotes that make these people seem folksy.
Right. That's it exactly. That's exactly the word. The word is folksy. And it's just stupid. It is. And again, I think that it plays up whether they mean to or not, and I think they actually do mean to, it plays up that divide. It plays up that you know, we all that Sarah Palin, we all know what real America is, and real America is the heartland.
Yeah.
Real America are the you know, what the coasts derisively refer to as the flyovers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and everybody else on those coasts, well, those aren't the real Americans. We all know that. That's, you know, that's the divide in this country. And it's like, I wrote about it a lot back when the 2008 election was going on, and McCain and Palin were really trying. I think I even titled the, which I thought was very clever, I titled the piece Both Ends Against the Middle, because that's what it was. It was like they were trying so hard to make it seem like, you know, the people on the coast, they're not real America. We all know what real Americans
yeah.
are.
Huckabee
and
was
yeah, and so they tell these little anecdotes, and it's like it's meant to drill home that, you know, we're folksy and down home, and oh, he's from Chicago.
Mike Huckabee was doing that on The Daily Show. He was describing his book to Jon Stewart, and he was, God, condensing everything down to the simplest terms possible. And he was talking about the bubbles in New York, Washington, and Los Angeles, and then the Bubba area, which is every place else. So here I'm watching this on TV, and you have a candidate for president talking about the bubble and Bubba areas. Well, you're talking about, go to the bubble areas, and they, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. The Harvard elites in the bubble areas, and then you go out to the bubble area or the Bubba area. And I'm going, wait, the bubble Bubba. What? Which are I? And it was getting mangled because of his accent. So I'm not even following which is the bubble area and which is the Bubba area. It's just absurd, just the simplistic terms that these guys speak to Americans with. And I guess some people deserve to be spoken to like a four-year-old, but for God's sake, if you're running for president, try to gussy it up a little bit, to use a Bubba area term.
Yep. And I'm sorry, you know what? This pissing on cities, this pissing on the urbanites.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just that. Sorry, man.
Yeah, totally.
You know what? There's a reason that cities are more developed and have higher educations and, you know, just, yeah, you know, I mean, it just, I'm sorry. I've lived in a city for one city or another for almost all of my life, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I do kind of get offended that there's this sort of, a reactionary streak where they blame people out on the coasts.
I mean, the worst thing you could possibly do would be to define someone's region and all of the hardship, all the real life hardships they go through, as not being real America, as not being real at all, actually. And I hear that all the time with regards to Hawaii, I mean, it was, well, you're in Hawaii, you don't have a right to complain about anything. Well, you got nice weather out there, so everything else is irrelevant. But it's not true. And it's the same with living in a big city. Just because you live in a metro center doesn't necessarily mean you're not experiencing the same hardships as they experience in Wichita or whatever Bubba area you can think of. Now, even Jay Leno, who's like Mr. White Bread, watered down, speak to the masses, he always talked about how, you know, how in Washington and Los Angeles, everyone knows what's going on. But he goes into the middle of the country and they're like, duh. I mean, he just faces all of this ignorance and, I mean, deliberate ignorance. I mean, where people actually wallow and pride themselves in terms of how disconnected they are from reality.
Right. And that's, you know what, and I'll tell you something, I'll give an inch on this because I can understand the idea that, you know, there is a sort of liberal superintendent class that believes that it knows more than everybody else. And I'm not a fan of them either.
No.
Honestly.
No.
To demonize any sort of intellectualism, to look at it as, you know, to stand staunchly against it and say that somehow, you know, that doesn't represent real America. Well, you know, real America is stupid. That's what real America is.
Yeah, okay, I would say.
All right, real America is willful ignorance.
Mm-hmm. And you can't separate all of these places. All it does is it offers this this patina of legitimacy to generally being ignorant. Say, well, it's don't worry about what they're saying about you in New York, because you know what, you're better than them because you're not them.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's what do those people know?
Yeah, exactly.
But again, I think that also comes, I'm telling you, I think that also comes, and we've talked about this many times, from how big the United States is.
Mm.
You know, I think it, a lot of it comes from, I can't in a million years understand. I mean, I can sympathize with what it's like, or what the day-to-day sort of life is like, and what the day-to-day beliefs are of somebody who lives in the middle of this, somebody who lives in, you know, Amarillo, Texas. You know, I live in LA, and I before that I lived in New York and Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I lived in big cities. I always have. I'm sorry, I like the city. It's just who I am.
Yeah.
But
you're clearly out of touch with real America, because you don't eat things that are made out of rind.
Exactly.
We got to take a quick break back right after this. Hello, Bob here. Last year I discovered Tweaked Audio for the greatest earbuds ever, and I can honestly say I'm totally spoiled now. I can't imagine using anything else. They're quite literally the finest earbuds available. Go now to our website, bobsesca.com, and click the banner for Tweaked Audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. Tweaked Audio is about comfort and quality for every ear in a variety of colors, including natural wood grain. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise, and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. You'll like the prices, too. And if you use the code BANC, that's BANDC, at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds, warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at bobsesca.com.
Bubble Genius, Bob and Chez Show.
Yeah, welcome back.
Come around to my way of thinking.
Such an awesome band.
This is one of the greatest albums ever recorded.
It is. That is an awesome album from start to finish. So good. Again, Chicago, man. Something in the water in Chicago.
This just, every time I hear a song off of this Urge Overkill album, I'm drawn right back to college. Doing the morning show at WRKU at Kutztown University. All right, so yeah, the State of the Union was great, and clearly the best part of it was, you know, the president just sticking it to the Republicans. I mean, that was one of the best, I would say that was one of the finest moments, at least publicly, of the Obama administration. You know, one of those, and you know, there's lots of great legislation in there, but I mean, talking about performance, talking about Because that, I mean, that's a crucial part of any administration, of any, you know, political leader, is that that theater. And I know sometimes crap all over the idea of political theater, but I think once we see it done right, it you can't help but to clap for it. And when the president said that I don't have any more campaigns to run, and the idiotic trolling Republicans started applauding that and cheering for that, and then he said, "I know because I won both of them."
Yeah, that was that was just dropping the mic right on top of him.
Absolutely,
it was such a beautiful moment because it was such a pimp slap to all of them, and I mean, just on national television, and. It was just a really beautiful thing. I mean, and that was topping off. You have to keep in mind the subtler thing that happened is that was topping off him not even acknowledging the Republican win in November.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, I kind of loved that. He went through it didn't even bother. And, you know, and the entire night I was like, I know, you know, I put this up in a post and it did really, really well for me because I think I was one of the first people to sort of say this, but I know a lot of other people have as well, was it just he has no fucks left to give.
That's right.
And I love that. It's a very much like, you know what? I'm done. I don't have any campaigns left and I've tried with you people and now I can't even. Mm-hmm. I'm good. You know, we've tried this. We've gone through these machinations before and I'm not even going to pretend to – You know, I'm gonna reach across the aisle because I believe in this country, but I'm not even gonna pretend that it's gonna be successful.
You know,
I'm not disillusioned at all anymore.
I was reading some remarks from some people who were saying, well, why didn't he do this earlier? I mean, why hasn't he sort of brought this kind of persona to the forefront sooner instead of allowing the Republicans to kind of walk all over him over the years?
Right.
And first of all, I don't think that's exactly the case. The other thing is that if he had done this, say, 2 years ago, it was a completely different climate politically. Whereas now, he doesn't have any more campaigns to run.
Yeah. And also, his policies, for the most part, have worked. You know, I mean, he's the state of our nation strong. He's put us back. You know, we still have some big problems to overcome, but he's put us for the most part, his policies have put us in a position where we are now, where he's now able to have a little swagger.
That's right.
Be like, look, you know what? I'm sorry, man. Gas is under $2 a gallon in some places, and unemployment's 5.6%.
That's right.
And the deficit is cut in half, and y'all can go screw yourselves.
And what's amazing about all of this is that it's one thing to have his roster of legislative accomplishments, healthcare reform, the stimulus, on down the list. It's another thing to see all of those things kind of come to fruition in terms of actual economic recovery, where things are as a direct result of all of these things, the overall national scene is so much better than it was 6 years ago. So we're actually feeling the palpable sense of what this administration has been all about, what this administration has been able to accomplish, and we see it. And this, to me, this State of the Union address is maybe his finest one. And maybe not necessarily in terms of the overall writing style. You really want to tear it apart in terms of rhetoric, but in terms of actually summarizing where we are now versus where we were 6 years ago, and then what we have to do going forward. Where, you know, he stated quite clearly that 15 years ago we were doing great. Everything was really, really, really good. It was peace and prosperity and all of that, and the Dow and the dot-com tech boom and all of that, all kinds of jobs created. We had a surplus with the budget, and then everything went right to hell because we made the wrong decisions.
Right.
I like this idea, you know, now things are pretty good again. Well, let's not screw it up. Let's not do the same screwy things that we did 10 years ago or whatever it was, or 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So in that regard, I think this was an historic State of the Union address. But I, again, going back to that swagger that he had, and, you know, there are a lot of people I saw on The View that were complaining about his, his ego or strutting around. It's just like, God, for God's sake. You know, on one hand, you want to say, oh, why doesn't he use the bully pulpit and do X, Y, and Z? And then when he does it, then suddenly, that's just too much.
Whatever.
We can't handle this boastful Obama.
I don't care.
Which to me always just rings of uppity whenever someone says that. Like, oh, wow, why? He's such an egomaniac. Come on. You know what it takes? You know what it takes to be president of the United States? a gargantuan effing ego. Every president has been an egomaniac. I don't care how folksy they try to pretend themselves to be. They're not. They're expert politicians. They're politicians who are the best in their field at that given moment.
Yep.
And so that's what we see on display. And I think all that said, I think of all of the displays of ego of a president, at least in recent memory, I think this was well deserved. This is a guy taking, and I hate to use this because it's been spoken over and over again this entire week, but it's a victory lap. And he deserves a victory lap.
Yeah.
You know, and it was one of those moments where I think casual followers of politics, casual viewers, people just dialing around and landing on one of the networks in prime time and watching this, I think they need to hear this sort of thing. They need to hear where we are economically. They need to hear the accomplishments of what this administration has achieved. And they need to see it in the context also of a very obstructionist GOP, an obstructionist GOP that has now twice tried to heckle him during a major joint session address. You know, the last time was during the healthcare joint session address back in, late 2009. And when, you know, the Joe Wilson, you lie thing. And this is the applauding, you know, the sort of trolling that they did from the peanut gallery as soon as he said he doesn't have any more campaigns to run.
Yeah, you don't get to be butthurt that the president, you know, butt you on national TV, to quote Die Hard.
Yeah.
When you had somebody in your ranks who did that a couple of years back.
Right. And you wrote a great, what I thought was a great summary of some of the reactions. You know, like Representative Tom Cole of Oregon says, probably not helpful when you rub the other guy's nose in the dirt a little bit.
Oh
my God.
My heart bleeds for you.
God. It's like they're reacting in complete absence of the fact that they cheered for when the president said he wasn't going to run again.
Yeah, exactly. Their memory is literally 10 seconds.
I saw a great meme. It was that classic shot of the president in, the Situation Room with Robert Gates and Axelrod and, you know, a bunch of other staffers, and they're all laughing hysterically. And the text said, and then I said, I know because I won both of them. Yeah. Great. It was cathartic to finally see, you know, I felt like I wasn't insane as I was watching this speech. I felt like, okay, yeah, that's right. That's why I kind of like this guy. That's why I voted for this guy and put my reputation on the line in support of some of his policies. Like, yeah. It was sort of vindicated in that way, which is great. Got to take another break. Back right after this.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Do you like good stories? Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry, and some make me sad, and some make me laugh, and isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at buzzburbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. We got to rally all of our listeners now in support of the show. There's something called the Podcast Awards. I'm going to post the link right on the podcast page. If you go to bobsesca.com, you can't miss the post for this here podcast. I'm going to post the link for the Podcast Awards. What you have to do, if you like this show, if you're at all loyal to this show whatsoever, take, I don't know what it will take, 90 seconds of your time to go to the Podcast Awards and nominate this show in the best production or best produced category, the People's Choice category, and the news and politics category. And you could probably throw us in the entertainment category too, because we do often talk about entertainment. Maybe the comedy category. Hell, whatever you think might apply to what it is we do here for 55 minutes every week, go and nominate us for the podcast awards. We're going to make a serious attempt at actually getting some sort of award for this show. And we have it, you know, I'm not entirely kind. It's like running those fundraisers that we used to do on the blog chest. I don't like asking people to do things for, you know, to satisfy our craving for notoriety. Go to iTunes once in a while, subscribe to the show, do that. That's fine. That's just, you know, that's just a good way to listen to the show. But with this, we're asking you to help us win a prestigious award. Or, I don't know, is it prestigious? I don't care. Any award is prestigious as far as I'm concerned. So, again, I'll put the link up on the podcast page for you to click on. Also, the second half of the show this week is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link, and we get a small commission from everything you get. It costs you nothing extra. Go to the site just under the logo, big capital letters. It says Amazon link. It takes you right to the front page of Amazon.com. You go shopping. You support the show, and we thank you in advance. And while you're clicking, why not sign up for a free trial of Amazon Prime? Just click the link on the podcast page and instantly watch over 40,000 movies and TV episodes with titles for everyone, borrow books from the Kindle owner's lending library, get unlimited free two-day shipping with no minimum order size. Again, use our link on the podcast page and help support the show. Thank you. All right, moving on with the show this week. The GOP tried to pass this really ridiculous, kind of awful abortion bill. And the Republican women in Congress actually stood up and got it. It basically pushed congressional leadership to not even bring it to a vote, which, by the way, a new version of the bill passed the House today, passed by votes of 242 to 179. But there was a provision in the bill that would provide abortion exemptions to women who had been raped only if they reported the crime to police. So it's basically codifying what is legitimate rape. And what is not legitimate rape, right? They still haven't learned. They still haven't figured out that trying to define rape is a mistake. Even Lindsey Graham today was saying, you know what? We should stop trying to define rape because it's only hurting us. But yet they tried to do it anyway. And number two, the general concern, particularly among female Republican members, that holding a symbolic vote on such a high-profile social issue this soon into the 114th Congress would provide fodder for the quote-unquote war on women argument Democrats have been advancing against the GOP for the last several elections. So that failed. By the way, Eric Erickson tweeted, Renee Elmers, who's a Republican from North Carolina, he says, Renee Elmers is the GOP's abortion Barbie. Eric Erickson always keeping it classy.
Such a boob.
So this is, once again, the Republicans, you know, right out of the chute, right out of the gate, just dropping to their knees and giving a big wet one to their base.
Yep.
Like, here you go. Oh, it's not going to pass. There's no chance in hell of it ever becoming law. But here you go. And then only, in effect, shooting themselves in the ass. You know, it's like all these guys, like we always read about these stories online about these, you know, gun instructors and these gun fanatics, you know, cleaning their gun and it goes off in their face. It's exactly what it is. They're getting shot in the foot by their own zealotry on this. It's just absolutely absurd. And so what you end up getting is just fueling all anti-Republican arguments from the biggest voting base in the United States. Women voters for the next 2 years. Good job. Good job, GOP. Smart people. In the Bubba section of the country.
Not the bubble, the Bubba.
Not the bubble. Yeah, that's right. Coming up after another break, we're going to talk about Bobby Jindal and the no-go zones and Mike Huckabee. Oh, wow. My God. I just remembered there's this great segment on Fox and Friends. We might have to preempt the any Huckabee and Gohmert for the Fox and Friends segment. But we're going to come back and talk about Bobby Jindal right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Welcome back.
I'm totally your...
Well, you know, it started, we were doing the mailbag the other day, and it just, I looked, and you were wearing a, like, your blue Foo Fighters t-shirt, and then there was the bluish glow from the TV, from your computer screen. And so that the bluish glow of your computer screen made your face look a little purplish. So it was the blue and then the purple. And so I was like, oh, my God, he looks like Eeyore. He totally looks like Eeyore.
I talk like Eeyore.
You talk, you the actually.
Miserable son of a bitch.
Hello.
Yep. Hello.
Why, hello, Eeyore.
F*** you, Pooh.
Oh, my God, too much fun. All right, so let's talk about Bobby Jindal. Who, anytime the State of Union rolls around, anytime the State of Union rolls around, he just dives right into it, right into a big pile of crap.
Yep. He should never speak. He really shouldn't.
So, in case you haven't been following along, for the last few weeks, Fox News and right-wing talk radio has been all bent out of shape over, I guess it was since the Charlie Hebdo thing, they've been bent out of shape over this idea of Muslim-only no-go zones, areas in...
Muslim death panels.
Yeah, Muslim death... That's exactly right. That's exactly what this is. Muslim death panels. These are areas not only in France and England, but also somehow in the United States, where non-Muslims can't go.
Yeah, and where Sharia law supersedes the, you know, national and local and state law.
And it's a complete myth. Fox News Channel actually got on the air, famously. And did, I don't know, what, it was a 90-second apology.
They did a bunch of crap on it. One of their experts actually said that the entire city of Birmingham, England, is Muslim, one of these no-go zones. Which, of course, I can't remember what John Stewart who said it, but, you know, which, of course, that news came as a huge shock to this, like, 80% of the population in Birmingham who's not Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Right, it got so thick and finally so thoroughly debunked that they had to do a retraction. They had to completely backpedal on all of it and say, you know what, we were wrong. There is no such thing as a no-go zone.
Yeah, I mean, Ben was right the other day. You've got, you know, you've got a conservative prime minister of England who called Fox News a bunch of idiots.
Mm-hmm. And then the French
in front of the world.
The French now setting the standard on comedy anymore, which is insane. It's like black is white is black. It's like a mystery wrapped inside of an enigma. The French are actually doing comedy, and it's getting retweeted all over the place. Like, they did a whole comedy bit.
They're ripping the crap out of Fox.
They did. They did this whole anti-Fox, like sketch, like a skit, making fun of Fox News Channel. The French are making fun of Fox News Channel. Man, the planets are in alignment. There's something good happening somewhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
See the French going after Fox News Channel. Especially now. I mean, because the French didn't do a damn thing with all the freedom fries and all that crap that was so prominent all over Fox News Channel 10 years ago. But now they're really having a good time.
They should.
Vive la France for their sketch comedy. My God, I never thought I'd ever say that. But so now this is all leading up to the fact that the governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, Kenneth the Page, is now sticking.
As I said, Louisiana governor and a guy who's really tired of constantly being handed Dinesh D'Souza's name tag at every Republican event.
That's right. I mean, but the guy's a Rhodes Scholar. You wonder how that works.
I know. He's not, you know, that's it. But that's it exactly. We've talked about that many times. He is like, he's the intellectual amongst the Republicans. Mm-hmm. And he's not.
That's right. He's the smarter Republican. He's the smartest of that group, the most accomplished scholastically. This is Bobby Jindal on Neil Cavuto, sticking with the thoroughly debunked by Fox News Channel itself no-go zones myth.
Did you know that the term no-go zones was wrong? I mean, we reported the same, and we were wrong. We botched it. We apologized for it. You are not, I take it.
Not at all. Neil, no, look, I think what you apologize, what your network apologized for, is calling an entire city a no-go zone. That's not true, but there absolutely are neighborhoods in this.
No, that's not true. That's not true. He was referencing the Birmingham thing. That's not just what Fox News Channel was apologizing for. It was all of it. The entire no-go zones myth.
Same day I made those remarks, there was a police chief in London that said this in the Daily Mail. There absolutely are neighborhoods where the police are less likely to go in. There are neighborhoods in the UK and in France that have been documented, very well documented by Ambassador Bolton and others, where there are attempts to impose Sharia law. There are neighborhoods where women do not feel comfortable walking in without veils. There are neighborhoods where, and that crimes that the London police, that this police chief in London described that were being underreported were serious crimes, like violence, like female
serious crimes in those documented areas, like violence, like the crime of violence. This is a Rhodes Scholar again. Those criminals do
and
violence.
You know who else we really need to be trusting when it comes to this? John Bolton. By all means, listen to what he says, because he's not fucking crazy.
Serious crimes.
But are those no-go zones? Are those no-go zones, or what?
Look, you can call them whatever term you want, but absolutely there are neighborhoods where you have community people that don't want to integrate, don't want to assimilate. They may be second, third, fourth generation. They don't consider themselves part of that country. They're actually going in there to colonize, to overtake the culture. That's what's going to happen in America if we're not...
Oh, my God. Is it we're not careful? I don't know why that cut off.
I grew up in Miami. Miami. Mm-hmm. Where Cuban exiles planted a flag and essentially took it over. Seriously. And I'm not saying that to be cruel. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying Miami is essentially a foreign country. That city has its own foreign policy. You know, they held up U.S. foreign policy when it came to things like trade relations with Cuba, when it came to Elion, the city itself refused to cooperate with the federal government mm-hmm. when it came to Elion. And I didn't hear the Republicans saying jack shit about that. And they're worried about small enclaves of Muslims of any other nationality. I mean, Jesus, you know, what he said is true of every single nationality. Every single nationality on earth has a little community set up somewhere where they kind of do things their way. You know? No, they are not. They're not somehow, you know, their law doesn't supersede the law of the land. You know, they're just, you know, they've got their enclaves. It happens. I mean, you know, there's nothing about the Muslims. There's nothing about Arabs that makes them somehow infinitely more dangerous.
But you see what Bobby Jindal's doing. He's trying to have his cake and eat it, too. Like, I understand that there's no such thing as no-go zones.
But there's no such thing. But there's definitely such a thing as no-go zones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's such a...
So the definition of the no-go zone is still there. Like, there still are places where you can't go and the Muslims say no and there's zones. But I don't call them... You can call them a no-go zone. I'm not going to call them a no-go zone.
Yeah, let me break some news to you, Bobby. Again, Miami. Miami is an American no-go zone. Seriously. And again, I actually don't think that it's a real problem. I don't, you know? I mean, it's kind of cool. It has its moments where it gets on your nerves, but... I didn't even start thinking about this. You know, I'm writing about it at the moment until I brought this up right now. It is a city where things are done differently than every other city in the country. I swear to God, I am not exaggerating on that. You know, it is a very sort of you know, the place is run like Casablanca. And when I say it's run that way, I mean it is politically it is run that way. And again, Cuba, you know, because Cubans happen to vote Republican, you're never going to hear Bobby Jindal bitch about that.
You know, I don't like to throw this term around lightly, but, you know, this is just one gigantic lie. That's exactly what he's doing. He's lying. He's perpetuating a myth, knowingly perpetuating a myth. And it's sort of like there was another egregious major State of the Union response error this week by Congressman Aaron Schock. Did you see this? Where he said...
I read about it. I didn't see it.
After the State of the Union address, he went on MSNBC and said that the middle class tax credit, basically the tax cut that Barack Obama is proposing for the middle class, is he's just giving money to people. It's just a handout for people. That was astonishing. I mean, I thought Chris Matthews' head was going to explode. Like, what do you mean to tell me? You mean to tell me?
Hold on, I'm finished.
Yeah, let me finish. You mean to tell me that this is a handout? I've never heard a Republican say that before. And he was completely right. I mean, Matthews was exactly right to jump all over this guy. I mean, a Republican was calling a tax cut a handout on national television. Just one of those astonishing moments. Like, how is it? How is it that they still expect us to take them seriously? Let's talk about Fox and Friends for a minute here.
Oh, please, let's not.
During the State of the Union, and as we've covered...
Sincerely, the dumbest show on television.
It is really
dumb. Even The Five has its moments where I'm like, oh, you know what, it's, you know, I can tolerate it for this literal nanosecond.
Yes, but...
Just Fox and Friends is just one gigantic barrel of stupid.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of monkeys, basically a bunch of monkeys whacking each other with wiffle bats. So it's this clip I'm about to play of Fox and Friends might as well just be a clip from the SNL sketch about Fox and Friends. It's just that dumb. Essentially, as we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now, president proposed free community college education for anyone who wants it, anyone who's willing to work for it. Free college education, associate's degree.
I agree completely.
Which is fantastic. So now, in order to somehow outflank the president on this idea, Fox and Friends has decided that who wants to go to college anyway because college sucks? That was the line from Fox and Friends. Why is the president wanting to send people to college when college is clearly terrible? I'm not making that up. That is the line from Fox and Friends. Here's Fox
and
Friends.
That's all they got left.
From Wednesday morning.
Here's the thing that really bothers me about this.
What?
I made my final two college tuition payments about 2 weeks ago.
We're speaking like from the heart of a dad, and moms out there are feeling the same way. Wait a second. We're paying for more college tuition for somebody else to the tune of $60 billion.
What a great deal, but who's going to pay for that?
But it's only, we're talking about Steve.
You know who Steve Doocy is? Steve Doocy is the Charlie in the Box from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cartoon.
Nobody wants a Charlie in the Box.
No one loves a Charlie in the Box. I just finished paying my tuition. Why didn't I get a free college education? No one wants a Doocy in the Box.
Your family did not go choose junior college, so you would
had
not
it
be
been
eligible.
Free, Brian, they might have.
Right, community college right now though is an average $3,260, and according to our brain room, 72%.
They have a brain room.
Wow, I would love to see that.
The brain room.
Wow,
I would love to tour their brain room. The Fox and Friends.
Got to see the brain Fox News. So that's where the brains are in that place.
I'm thinking what they do is before they go on the air in the morning, they pop the tops of their heads open and take out their brains and just stick it in the room.
Yeah.
It's like a cloakroom for their brains. Brain. Okay, Killmeat, I'm going to take my brain out now before I go on the air. No one loves me with a brain.
There, you know, you've talked a lot about the punch me face. I mean it when I say I'm not sure that there's anyone that I would like. I can feel it in my fist. I can feel like I can close my eyes and I can feel what it would feel like to punch Steve Doocy in the mouth.
Again, Steve Doocy. I remember Steve Doocy when he was on Channel 4, NBC's affiliate in Washington, D.C.
The weather guy.
And he was the weather guy, and then he was also the guy who came on after the weather and did the story about the potato chip that looked like Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, weather and kickers.
Kickers, that's right.
Suddenly, like, I'm supposed to give a crap about anything he says about politics.
Nobody loves this cold front descending on the metro area. That's what those weather reports.
Of people who choose junior college, which is a great way to start on a four-year degree or just to get your associates, 72% are already getting aid. And I imagine if you want to go to college...
People are getting aid that they have to pay back. You idiot. Go ask your brain room how it actually works.
You could get a part-time job and make that tuition payment even without a loan, which is available to you, and even without grants that you might be eligible for.
Well, and is college always, the best choice? I mean,
here we go. Is college always the best choice? Do you really want to get a higher
education?
When you
go and ask the brain room, when the brain room tries to say something, the ideology room immediately makes a phone call and shuts them down.
That is the line of the day. The ideology room versus the brain room. They're all just battling it out.
The ideology room is the rest of Fox News. Brain room is that one little tiny area trying desperately to be heard, and it's just completely overwhelmed by, you know, the giant tub of shit in the ideology room in the other 12 floors.
Well, here's Elizabeth Hasselbeck telling us all that. Why do you even need college? Why should we even do that?
You can be like me and not get any college.
Well, and is college always, the best choice? I mean, there are two new reports out there revealing that Americans actually are not as prepared as we think they are coming out of school, okay? So 4 in 10 United States college students graduate without the complex reasoning skills to manage white-collar work.
What's that like, Brian Kilmeade?
Give up, yeah. So let's just give up. Well, you know what? People shouldn't be going to college anyway. Oh my God, I swear. Was it you who said that if Obama said that he wanted to, like, you know, that if Obama said that he liked oxygen, the Republicans would stop breathing?
Oh yeah, that's just a general meme that's out there. Yeah, but that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. This is like when they were saying the low gas prices mean the economy's hurting.
No.
I mean,
that's why you just, you know, you can't take something seriously whose ideology blinds it to everything. No matter what. You know, and there's got to be, I'll take the word of somebody who says, you know, somebody who says, oh, you know what, I disagree with the president, but, you know, that was a good statement. Or, oh, that, you know, that made sense or whatever. Fine. Great. It means that we're, you know, that there's some common ground there to argue from, even if we don't always agree.
That's right.
But just, you know what? No, whatever he says, it's wrong. And, you know, he wants to give money to, you know, he wants to give money so that, you know, kids can get a free college, you know, associate's degree, community college education. We don't, you know what? You know what I hear? You know what I hear? I hear that community college, they're a real fire hazard. I hear they burn down really quick.
Oh, my God. You never know when you go to the cafeteria at a community college whether you're going to get poisoned by the awful food. Why even go, then?
Yeah. Holy shit. I thought I was just about to make this joke, and then I realized that people have already made it. There are people out there who've said that... I saw from the right who cracked the joke about how, you know, I thought there were so many rapes going on in colleges and President Obama wants to send more people there. Eric Erickson said that.
That's right.
Wow. Because that was going to be my, like, you know, there are a lot of rapes on college campuses.
Obama hates women. Why doesn't Obama love women? He wants them all to get raped.
Nobody rapes a Charlie in the Box.
Nobody rapes a Charlie in the Box. All right, we got a big after party coming up Friday. Actually, you know what? It ends up getting posted late night Eastern time on Bandcamp. If you're not a subscriber to the after party, go to bobandchez.bandcamp.com and you can download each episode of the after party for just $2. It's $2. I was going to make it $1.99, but come on, who are we kidding? $2. Why not? And I think, you know what? I'm not sure if you can subscribe yet. I don't think you can. But subscribers, if you're already a subscriber, you can still download the show the normal way. But if you're not, you can go to Bandcamp and pick it up. It takes all the major credit cards and PayPal and all that happy crappy. So go and do it. You'll enjoy it. We've got lots of fun stuff to talk about, including Chez's new music countdown for January 2015. Be there. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.